What I do want to do at the end, though, is read out what she read out. I thought that was excellent, those words. I'm going to be whisking around all over the Bible today, so and all the verses I use will come up on the screen. So while I'd encourage you to normally to have your Bibles open, probably in one way, unless you get bored of what I'm saying and you just want to read something completely different, then I encourage you to read the Bible, then great, go for it. But all the verses will be coming up that we're using on the overhead. As our culture, as our society, as our country moves further away from God's law, from God's ways, which I hope to you is clear that that's what has happened, has been happening over many years, it actually becomes easier for us as Christians to be countercultural, to actually speak into situations. There's many ways, many areas of life where, which will come up and we can say, hang on a minute, as a Christian, I don't agree with you on that. And obviously we need to do that carefully and sensitively, but we will have many opportunities to do that as our laws, as our people we meet with every day, our families, whoever, take on the world's values, our country's values. Things such as that there is only one God. Pervading cultures say, well, whatever God you want to worship. The Bible makes it clear there is only one God, and that is the God that is written of in the Bible. Putting others first is a novel thought, but as our culture moves further away towards self, that we as Christians can stand up and say, no. We're called to put others first. We're called to follow Jesus' example. Sex is within marriage. Heterosexual sex is within marriage. That's what it is. That accumulating wealth, contrary to what everything else says, does not make us happy. Peace comes through relationship with Christ alone. God alone, Philippians 4 tells us, will bring us that peace, will bring us the happiness that most of us, many people, seek to find in wealth. And that's why our country, no, not our country, our world is in such financial, economic meltdown. It's frightening, isn't it? Some of the things we hear. And we listen to what's happening in Greece, and we think, well, that's Greece. Well, actually, it affects all of us. And the reason why there is such economic meltdown is because for years, well, there's not one reason, but the underlying reason, clearly, is that for years, for decades, we've been spending too much individually or as governments. And the problem now, without going into all the economics, which I don't understand, and so I'm sure some of you could explain far better than me, is that countries across, well, we are in massive debt because we are spending too much, because whether it's individually or corporately, our governments and our businesses are in such debt that now people are turning around and saying, hang on a minute, we need to start clawing that back, and we can't carry on living that way. The Bible tells us to be countercultural. The Bible says that we need to live within our means. It encourages us to save, and it certainly does not encourage debt. But nearly all of us are probably in debt for getting mortgages, but many of us, even Christians, are in debt. Our government is in massive debt. The reason I'm saying these things, and you're thinking, how does this link into aging, is I'm just, as an introduction, trying to say we can be, in many areas of life, very countercultural as Christians, and you will get opportunities. And yeah, we need to be sensitive, and we mustn't go in with size 15 boots, but we can say, well, actually, the God I worship is saying this into this situation. And that's true of aging. I've titled this sermon, Aging Gracefully. It was something God challenged me on a while ago, and I felt I wanted to preach on. So here we go. We can be countercultural with respect to the way we look at people who are deemed as older. Now, I don't know about you, but what do you define as old? When I was 20, it was somebody about 50. Now, I'm not quite so sure. I guess I'm middle-aged. A couple of weeks ago, I started talking about having these reading glasses, and I realize that now, because I am wearing these, I am definitely middle-aged. And where am I? I remember my mum, when she got to 60, refusing to have a bus pass and refusing to use it for months because she didn't want to acknowledge that she was 60. Mind you, we lived in Sheffield, and you could travel anywhere in South Yorkshire for about 10p in those days, so it wasn't quite so bad. But she refused to acknowledge that. And she also, I remember, not that long ago, was helping out what she called, she said, "I'm helping with the elderly at church." And I said, "Mum, most of those people are actually younger than you." She was well into her 70s. And she said, "Yes, but it's the attitude that I'm talking about." So what is old? How do you define elderly? I'm looking around a massive wide cross-section of ages here. Is old when we become a burden to those around us? Is that what we think of as old? When we get to that stage, which we perhaps all fear, where we actually are reliant on people around us, whatever age. I've learned loads in the last 6 months in particular in caring for my mum and dad. As my dad has developed Alzheimer's, as many of you know, and just supporting mum and all that sort of stuff. And I know many of you, there's many in our congregation who care and look after in different ways elderly parents, and I certainly have learned a lot in doing that. And can I just say as an aside, thank you for all your prayers and encouragement and interest in that situation. At the moment, mum and dad are fine. My parents live in Sheffield, and mum cares for dad. And they're good at the moment. But mum's 87, so I always think, good grief. What's the next phone call going to bring? But thank you for your prayers. What is old? We see so many adverts. There are so many adverts, aren't there, encouraging us to look young, whether that's to get rid of any grey hair. Obviously, I can't see much out there at all. Whether that's to get rid of that little bald patch at the back, and whether that's to do with wrinkles, to do with Botox or whatever. You know, there's so much encouraging us to stay young. And we can smile and we can... But what are those subtly, what are those adverts subtly saying to us? They're subtly saying that to be young is to be attractive. To be young is to be successful. That's an implication that you're starting to get written off once you reach whatever age it is. Do you remember the case of Miriam O'Reilly, who presented Countryfile? And she took the BBC to court because she was asked to stand aside, and she believed it was because of her age. And one of the things that she brought in the court case against the BBC was that she claimed that her producer had told her, "You're going to have to be careful with those wrinkles when high definition comes in." Now, who knows whether that's true, but there is that within our media and within our culture. Many of us fear getting old, whatever we define as old. But let's not take on that is the world's view. It's interesting that the church is one institution. There's very few. Well, actually, there's a massive mix. We're really blessed here. We've got children. We've got people in their 20s, 30s, a lot of us older. And it's a great mix. And we're blessed by that. And we can learn from one another. And yeah, naturally, we might gravitate to people roughly our own age. But actually, we can learn and be encouraged and work far better together because we're a church of wide cross-section. I meet with leaders across the city. And there's a couple of churches, and they've got hardly anybody over 40, and they say, "We'd love to have some older people." Not trying to, don't go. Didn't quite come across right. And it was interesting. Where the church encompasses a massive age range, so let's embrace our differences, age-wise, and see what the Bible says about them. Firstly, the Bible says this, that we need not be fearful of old age and of death. 1 Peter in the Message says this: "Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given a brand new life and have everything to live for, including a future in heaven." Including a future in heaven, and that future starts now. We don't need to fear death. Many passages, obviously, because of what Jesus did, because Jesus conquered death. We don't need to be fearful of what is on the other side. So that's one aspect of aging. But in respect to our life here, it's true in many cultures, the elderly are held in much higher esteem than in our culture. And yet sometimes I think we hold one or two people in high esteem, the Queen, Nelson Mandela, according to Joe, George Clooney, apparently he's getting better looking and more gorgeous as he gets older, I don't know, one or two nods at that. But except for a very few special examples, how do we view those who are getting older? Older Christians, even those of us who have been in church many years, often absorb the world's view of them, that they're past it and no longer got the same potential. And that can cause people to withdraw and feel of no use to others. But the Bible says exactly the opposite. It talks about being full of energy and potential in old age. Psalm 92 says this, I love this. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They'll grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They'll flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green. Although I say fresh and green, you might not feel as if you're fresh and green, but. And they will proclaim that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him. They will proclaim and still proclaim. They will still bear fruit in old age. We will still bear fruit in old age. There's examples, if you think about it, there's examples throughout the Bible of people of old age who brought massive wisdom, brought leadership, brought all sorts of things. And you're probably thinking of Moses in particular, perhaps of Abraham, but think of others. Hannah, the father of Samuel. What an amazing lady. Read the beginning of Samuel about the life of Hannah as a relatively older woman. Simeon, who met with baby Jesus and was waiting for baby Jesus all his life, and as an old man brought wisdom into that situation. John, the apostle John, in old life, the wisdom that he brought to the church and the many writings that we still read of his. Many examples of people in old age. I mean, how old was Moses? Probably well into his 80s, if not 90s, when he led the people of Israel for 40 years all over the desert. Proverbs 9 says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through wisdom, your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom brings growth and it brings long years. In other words, turning it the other way, that we will gain wisdom. And the wisdom you have gained over the years from your experiences, from the mistakes you've made, that we've all made, you can pass those on. The other thing that the Bible says is that it talks about a balance, again, in Proverbs. I love Proverbs. There's so many gems in Proverbs. It encourages. Proverbs 20 says this, the glory of the young is their strength. The grey hair of experience is the splendour of the old. Just leave that one up a minute, Francis. The glory of the young is their strength. The grey hair of experience is the splendour of the old. In other words, we can work together. And like I said before, as I just really encourage when I see a church full of people of different ages, small groups full of people who are encouraging and working together, with not just different ages, but different backgrounds, different cultures, different interests, but still working for that one goal of God's kingdom. And that's what that passage is saying. It's also interesting, I think Anne was going to use this one about grey hair. Proverbs 16 says this, grey hair is a crown of glory. It's gained by living a godly life. I'm looking around. Clearly Pete, clearly Angela. Margaret. Oh, sorry, Ruth. I can see. Look, Arthur, you clearly have all lived godly lives. I won't comment on any of those people whatsoever. Grey hair is a crown of glory. That was just an aside. It's also interesting, the Bible encourages us to be, well, tells us we have to be interdependent. Okay, not independent, but interdependent. I.e., we depend, we need one another. And we think about that at the beginning of life especially, and right at the end. But actually, it's right across life. We need one another. When I was a young Christian, I needed people who were older, wiser, to come and encourage me and take my enthusiasm and guide me and take me and use me and point me in the right direction. We need one another at every single stage of our life. But it's especially true, obviously, when we're babies and as we end, for some of us, the latter stages of our life, when physically or mentally we're not able to survive. I find it really difficult with my dad that he's not really my dad in terms of mentally because the Alzheimer's coming on and and I've learned so much because of that. And he needs the support of my mum in particular. And for him to learn that and to take that on board is difficult, but we rely on one another. And some of us, let's face it, aren't good at accepting the help of others. But actually, if we allow people to help us in whatever way it is, if we allow people to teach us things, if we accept the teaching, if we accept the physical support, if we accept whatever, then we will bless people by allowing them to care for us. And in later life, we may be forced to anyway. And perhaps we fear that, but God says, don't fear that. Allow people to care for you, to look after you at every single stage of life. So I want to say two or three things to those who would count yourself as older, and two or three things to those of you who would count yourself as young. Those of you who sit in the middle, then you will learn from both, I'm sure. To the older among us, you may think that your best years are behind you. You may think that God can't work in and through you now. But that is denying God. He has a plan for your life. Not the bit that's gone, but he has a plan for your life. For the next stage, you're here now. He's got things he wants you to learn, things he wants to walk with you, things he wants to teach you, to encourage you in, things he wants you to pass on. People he wants you to be praying for, supporting, encouraging. For me, many older people who've encouraged me, they don't want to talk about death and dying. They want to talk about life now, and they want to talk about life worth living. I still have a great uncle whose father died when he was 104. And at the age of, I think he was 99 or maybe even 100, this gentleman went into an old people's home. And he made it very clear that he wasn't going in there because he needed to. He could still cope on his own admirably. But he said, I'm going in there because God has told me to go and preach and evangelize to the old people. All of them would have been younger than him, I'm sure. And that man spent 4 years before he died, very peacefully, I'm sure, speaking into people's lives. And he was 99, 100 when he went and did that. And that's always been an encouragement to me. It's predicted, I don't know if this is going to excite you or give you fear, that 1 in 7 people alive today in Britain will live to be 100. When I told my mum that, I said, it's even more expecting for you, mum, because you're 87. And the health, she went, oh my goodness. 1 in 7 of us will live to, I don't know how that makes you feel. Maybe good. What I'm saying that is use your experience. You've got time to use your experience and your wisdom to speak into others. You may physically not feel, well, you probably won't feel as you did when you were in your 20s. Obviously. So perhaps now is more a time to be rather than to do. And we all need to learn that lesson, let's be honest. I'm continually trying to learn that lesson to slow down, to listen to God, to spend time. But actually, when we're perhaps forced to because of physical reasons or others, then we've got more time to be with God than rather doing stuff that we think is for God. And whether you are or are not a prayer warrior, That's the first thing that comes. Is I'm not going to embarrass anybody, but I know there's two or three people here who are prayer warriors who regularly pray for myself and others in leadership and for this church. When I say regularly, I mean daily. So I'd encourage you to become a prayer warrior, to perhaps find one person, whoever that is, and it doesn't have to be somebody in leadership or somebody, just somebody, to pray for them daily and ask them regularly, what can I pray for you for? What are the things that are worrying you? What are the things that you want to see happen? Who are the people that you meet with that you want to see become a Christian? How can I pray for you? And then follow that up. I've got one person in this church regularly who does that to me and rings me and says, what can I pray for? And badges me and encourages me. And it's just great to know that. And I know, I'm sure there are others, but this lady calls me. Become a prayer warrior. Find specific things to be praying for. Maybe on my phone rings at a certain time each day to pray for a specific thing. Find something that helps you to think, okay, I'm now going to stop for 1 minute and pray for this person, this situation, this thing. We can all do that. Don't need to be any specific age. Find what God has got for you as you change, as things develop, as things change in your life. Find what other things God has got. Don't become bitter. How do you look back on your life? Do you have regrets? We all have regrets. All of us. But let's not be governed by them. Let's not let them dominate. How do you view the world around you compared to when you were in your 20s? Do you have rose-tinted glasses of how it was then? Yeah, much about our culture has changed for the negative in perhaps the last 50 years, 20 years, whatever. We could debate that. Life doesn't stay still. Situations, people change, governments change, cultures change. The thing we need to do is ask, how can I pray for the people next door to me, my church, my city, my country, and the things that I struggle with? Pray for those things you struggle with. If you struggle with the whole thing of the riots, left many of us, let's be honest, feeling helpless, feeling worried. Let's turn that worry to prayer and ask, pray for the families that were involved, the businesses that were destroyed. Pray for organizations that support those on the edge. Pray for struggling families. Whatever it is, turn those things that you worry about to prayer. Don't become bitter about the way things are, but use it to reach out to God. So I say to those of you who feel yourself slightly older than the rest, or the way you are, you're still very much on a journey. And that journey begins today. You've still much to learn. You probably realize that. But actually, you've also got much, much to pass on to those around you, whether they're young or older as well. And to the younger among us, that's me, I'm down. Okay, maybe not. We need to venerate our elders. By elders, I don't mean me, Mark, and Les. I mean those that are older than us. As we all grow older, we must model what it means to grow old gracefully. First thing is respect. Leviticus 19 says this, stand up in the presence of the elderly and show respect for the aged. And the last bit, fear your Lord, I am the Lord. Stand up in the presence of the elderly and show respect. We must learn from and work with one another. 1 Peter says this, in the same way, the younger men must accept the authority of the elders. And all of you serve each other in humility. For God opposes the proud, but favours the humble. We, all of us, young and old, need to work with one another. Accept differences. Accept the different speeds people work. Accept the different backgrounds people come from. But also, we need to understand that if we're younger, then God still wants to use us. If you feel young, and this is a classic verse from 1 Timothy, Paul, writing to Timothy, who was a young man, he says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. But Timothy was probably in his early 20s, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. Sometimes I know for me, when I was younger, I didn't feel I got anything to give to people that were older. They had all this wisdom, but actually, we can speak into sensitively, respectfully, but we can speak into those who've got more wisdom, that more experience, should I say, those who've got more experience than us, and we can often challenge people's views. So don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. But I encourage you to, yeah, we all relate to people our own age, but let's encompass, let's take interest in people that are of different age, different background to us. Sometimes I'd love to have a Sunday where you can't sit in the same seats that you're doing now. And you'll come in and we'll force you to sit in a different seat. And you'd have to talk to somebody else that you don't normally. Might do that, actually. Probably be a rebellion. But it's interesting, isn't it? Because some of you always sit in the same seat. I'm saying that because I do. I always sit there. But I've got a good reason for doing that. But we could then... we could then... I say this in jest, but yeah, you get to know other people, people you perhaps wouldn't naturally. Joe, whether that's because of age or whatever, let's get to know one another a little bit more. It's great, I love that. A lot of our growth groups have got a very wide cross-section of ages. If you're thinking, and one or two people are at the moment thinking of joining a new group, go and join a group with perhaps people at a different age to you. Bring a balance, bring something different to that group. In conclusion, we're all getting older. Acknowledge your limits, but embrace the experiences that make you, you. Ask God how he can use your experiences, how he can use your wisdom. If you genuinely feel you've passed your best, and you've no energy, no desire, you feel worn out, then there's only one person who can help, and you have to turn to God, and God will give you that passion. God will give you alone that energy. Through his Spirit, he can come and speak into your situation. And that may be by bringing somebody else alongside you, but God alone can give us that. We can't build up that energy and that passion ourselves. It comes from God. God wants to be close to you and to use you, whatever your age, whatever your age. Age is irrelevant to God. He doesn't look at you and go, oh, you're whatever. He's just interested in your heart. I want to finish by reading what Anne read to us earlier. With grey hair, growth, growing up and growing old comes wisdom. Didn't read that very well. Let me start again. With grey hair, growth, growing up and growing old comes wisdom. God created us. God loves us and will take care of us as we grow older. We should show respect to and value everyone, regardless of age, regardless of status. We should make the most for God while we are young, not wait. We should start to obey God and serve him as soon as we can. God is willing and able to use us, no matter how young, no matter how old we are. Everyone, old and young, has their strengths, and we can all learn and appreciate from one another. We can all learn from and appreciate each other, both adults and children. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you that you're a God who doesn't see our age. You don't see the way we look. But you see us as a person, you see our heart, you see our worries, you see our passions, our struggles, and you meet us wherever we are. And I pray for each one of us that we may continue or we may begin to find what you have called us to. The big things and probably more the small things, the relationships with others, the people we can encourage, the people we can get alongside who can encourage us, can challenge us, can teach us. Pray that we as a church here at Meredith Road, we as part of the church in Coventry can grow together as one for your glory here in this city. Amen. Thanks, Anne.